Happy spring break, sisters. And I'm the teachers and students are rejoicing. So I know that those folks are very excited. Allison came home just in heaven. Spent the afternoon in front of the TV. She doesn't get to do that usually. But anyway, let's start off with a prayer tonight. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that the women can be together, God. Thank you that we can look in your word, that we can find great truths in it to apply to our lives, to our characters, to our marriages, to our relationships, to our children, to everything that we need. Father, truly you have given us that, God. And I treasure these sisters so much, the women in this room. They mean so much to me. I'm so thankful for them, Father, how they have blessed my life so much. And I pray tonight that you would speak through me and help me to just get out of the way and let your spirit lead me. And Father, thank you that Russ McGar's surgery went so well. Father, please be with him and Sue and their family during this time and help them to have everything they need so that Russ can heal. And Father, I pray the same for Mark as he goes in for his surgery tomorrow, Father, that it would be quick and it would be just smooth and without any complications, God. And be with Kathy as she helps him with that as well, God. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd really be with us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am really, really excited tonight to get to share some things that have really helped me recently in my walk with God. And I really hope that they'll help you too. And the title of my lesson tonight is, What Were You Thinking? And just a catchy little title. Hopefully it will help you. Anyway, recently I had this aha moment in my Bible study. And I love when that happens. That's because, frankly, it doesn't happen every week. It doesn't happen every month in all actuality. But, you know, that moment where it's like, wow, why didn't I see this before? And it really wasn't that original of an aha moment. I got it from this book that I've been reading. We've actually been doing it in our daytime women's Bible study. It's called Discover Joy, and it's on the Beatitudes. And I'm not going to go into detail about it. If you want to know more about it, you can come look at it or talk to me some more. But I just wanted to reference it because it really wasn't my idea at first. But anyway, it's a great book, and I've been getting a lot out of it. And this point that I found was just a little point in one of the chapters. But what I realized was there's definite connection in God's word between our mind and the heart. And as I studied and I prayed about it, I was like, wow, just amazed me again. And, you know, I hadn't seen this before. And, you know, it was one of those revelations that you get sometimes even after you've read the scriptures for years, if you've been a Christian for a while. And you think, it's amazing. God's word can point out so many new things, even if you've read these same passages over and over again. So, I hope that, you know, what I share will help you see that connection and then apply it, and then we can all be more mature in our faith as a result. Look over in Ephesians 5. We're going to start there tonight. And we're going to be talking tonight about spiritual thinking. And it is good. It is good to have a spiritual mindset. And I'm so glad that the scriptures give us a lot of guidance in that way. And we're going to start in verse 1 and 2 with the vision that Paul had for the Ephesian church. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is how I want to live my life, don't you? Live a life of love. Imitate God. Sacrifice the way Jesus did. Be motivated as children who are dearly loved. And, you know, if we live this kind of life, it's going to be evident in the way we act, the way we conduct our lives. You know, we read our Bibles. We pray. We serve. We come together and worship God. We strive to respond to our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, our husbands, our children, the way God wants us to do. And we help and we encourage other people along the way. We share our lives with others who don't know God. This is a great life. And I'm so thrilled to be striving to live this way. But let's face it, it's not easy. It's a great life, but it is hard sometimes. Many times and many things can get in our way. We get off track as we try to seek God. And if you're trying to seek God in the first place, if you're just starting to get to know him, you can get off track. It's tough. There's distractions. There's just habits. There's ways of thinking that we have to correct. So what we're going to do is we're going to study out the passage before this, because God gives us some direction on how we can be true imitators of God. So let's go back in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read verse 17 through the end of the chapter. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer live as the Gentiles do. You must no longer live that way. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you should put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who is stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Notice that there are several references to the mind, or our thinking, and the heart in this passage. You know, I looked up the definitions in the Greek for these words, and they are almost the same. They are so very, very similar. The Greek word for mind is nous, which is pronounced nous. And it relates to the mind, or thoughts, feelings, and will. And the Greek word for heart, which is K-A-R-D-I-A, pronounced cardia, figuratively means thoughts or feelings. So really, they're almost the same meaning. So if you look in the scriptures, for example, when Jesus refers to the pure in heart in Matthew 5, verse 8, he meant for our mind to be pure as well. What we think about, you know, penetrates to our heart, doesn't it? And vice versa. You know, if our feelings are there, then it can affect how we think and operate. And to me, I kind of got encouraged by this. I was like, wow, you know, if I'm thinking the right way, then my heart can catch up. Because I'm not one of these touchy-feely, honestly, I don't gush with emotion a lot. I'm sort of like a guy, more like a guy than a woman. And anyway, and so I was like, okay, well, I can get my mind around things, then my heart's going to follow. And so anyway, that just helped me. Maybe there's a few of you like me in the room that'll help you too. I know I'm kind of different. But also what I want us to see here is there's a process going on, and our thoughts are directly involved. And in verse 22 to 24, Paul gives us three steps toward being greater imitators of God. And the first step is we have to put off our old self. And that's what we did. We studied the Bible and became disciples, right? Amen. That was great. We left the world. We left our emptiness. We left the sensual natures behind and became new creations. And that's awesome. And but again, there's a fight not to revert back to our old selves, you know? Back in verse 17, Paul refers to the futility of the Gentiles' thinking. Futile thinking. And I believe that if we can go there as Christians if we're not careful. Feudal thinking. What do I mean? Well, primary definition of feudal is pointless or hopeless. Remember, Christy did a lesson on hope last month, didn't she? And it's so important for us to hold on to our hope as Christians. You know, Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." So there's that connection again between the mind and the heart, you know. So I believe what Paul's saying here is if we allow ourselves to engage in futile thinking, our hearts can become sick. Or, as he says in verse 18, hardened. And we definitely don't want to get that far. You know, I thought of some examples of how futile thinking can lead to the hardening or the sickness in your heart. You know, critical thoughts can lead to bitterness. Jealous thoughts can lead to hatred. Anxious thoughts can lead to deeper fears. Impure thoughts can lead to lust or even immorality. Angry thoughts can lead to fits of rage. Cynical thoughts can lead to faithlessness. So, and you can probably think of some others in your mind. But I think it's important to see it again, just how important, you know, our mental status, our mental process is, especially if you're like me. You know, again, I'm not this emotional person, so if I get upset, I don't go scream and yell and throw things and sit off in a corner and sob uncontrollably. But I can get myself into a real tizzy inside. And sometimes I don't talk about it even. Or when I do, people kind of look at me like, what is going on with you? You know, and so, a couple of months ago, I got that way, and I could just feel, I was like, I wasn't at peace, you know, and it was just stuff. You know, I fret. I linger, as Sarah puts it, about things that I've felt in the past. She says, don't linger, Barbara. And I'm just not at peace. And she had to just tell me, you know, you need to calm down and, you know, collect my thoughts here and get them back on focus with God. Because all it takes is a couple of those thoughts. And I'm on that road to some of these sins that I just mentioned. So that's not a very pretty picture. And so we got to see what to do about it. And Paul tells us, and this is my second point, in verse 23, is to be made new in the attitude of our minds. So, again, I like to look in the Greek, and I found out that the phrase being made new, as it says in the NIV, kind of refers to a renovation or a reform. And in our household, about a year and a half ago, we had our kitchen redone. And it was a long process, mostly because it takes me forever to make decisions. And so after I, you know, chose what I was going to do, we had, there was all kinds of dust. I mean, if you've ever done that, you can relate. You had to move things out of the way, and then they had to demo, you know, everything that was in there and replace it and paint, and I had to confer with all the professionals and on and on. So after several months of planning and several weeks of work, they were done, you know, and the dust settled and everything was back in its place, and it was like, wow, you know, this room is transformed. And it was really cool to watch. But think about that spiritually. And I'll use another one of Sarah's phrases. You can describe it kind of as a shift, as she says. You gotta shift your thinking. And that's where we want to be. We want to take that shift and be made new in our minds. And how do we do that? Well, one thing we can do is we pray. You know, I pray almost every day for God to help me to see what's real and right and true. You know, just and to help me think about what's important. Because my mind, and again, it just goes. It goes in all these directions. So, it happens for me. I start snowballing most when there's a crisis. And, what's going to happen? Like, I think about, especially, one of my biggest fears is for Steve to one day have to be disabled. That's just, you know. So if he gets sick, you know, I'm tempted to think, what if he doesn't get better? You know? You know, what if I have to go back to work? What if, you know, what are we going to do? What are, you know? And I sit in bed and I think about all that. And that's just, you know, on and on. And, you know, they can, you know, our thoughts and our emotions can lead us to ideas that are just unrealistic and they're untrue. They're just way out there. And so the prayer helps me to get back on track. And another way we can achieve that shift, is to listen to others. And we've got to be open with our thought processes, open with, you know, what we're thinking and feeling, and have conversations where you allow other sisters to just tell you, you know what you're saying is not true. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in those kind of conversations? Because you know, sometimes it's just things we think are just, they're just way crazy. And we need to have friends that will tell us, sister, that's just not true. And then you need to believe them and come back down. So, and just like, oh, okay, here's what is true, you know. And then finally, we need to cling to the scriptures. And there's so many great truths in the Bible that popped up when I was preparing the class. And what I want us to do now is to hear them and go back over them. We're gonna have several different sisters just stand up and read some passages. So I don't want you to turn there. Just listen, you know, write them down, and you can go back over them later. So my little able assistants, I had three teens picked out to read, but then John and Marissa Bell whisked them away. So we'll have to make an adjustment here. Bianca. Thank you. And if you happen to read from a version that's different from the NIV, just say, stand up and read loud, please. Natasha? Is Natasha here tonight? Thank you. We have the mind of Christ. Lisa, can you please read Philippians 4, 6 through 8? Amen. Jackie, can you please read 1 Peter 1, verse 13? Jackie Burns. Thank you. Teresa. Yeah.
That is why we never give up, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day.
Okay. And Brittany, can you help me with one? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 through 5. And one more, Jessica. Matthew 22. You. That was Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. So, isn't God great? I mean, these are only just a few. And he shows us how to be victorious and centered in our thoughts. You know, another idea I had that I can just throw out is to study some of the Psalms. And you know the ones where the psalmist starts off frustrated and you know, just really upset and crying out to God. And he ends the psalm with being decisive and hopeful. So you can just go through and pick out, oh, he started out frustrated, and watch. At the end, he's not. And help is there for us. That's what we need to see. And we can, through the prayer, through the word, and each other. Okay, last point is we need to put on the new self. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And as disciples, we're all new creations. But again, this challenge is to keep that fresh spirit and to be fired up, like our new disciples, Cynthia and Michelle. You know, those guys are excited. They're ready to go. And what it takes, you know, is really a willingness to change, you know, when we see things that are going on, continue to put on that new self. And that's not easy, again, is it? You know, I remember when I was a young bride, just learning how to be married, and before we had children, this was the first one or two years. Steve and the couple that were helping us in our marriage noticed that I didn't like to be corrected. You know, imagine that. So, you know, Steve would point out something that I could do better. Really? I could do something better. How about that? And he just pointed out to me, and I would sulk, and I would pout, and I just feel sorry for myself, and he was just convinced that he didn't love me, and more than that, honestly, I just wish that he would just leave me alone. And And it got really tough. It was tough to live with. And he'd point out even that, you know, Barbara, I think you're kind of spoiled. And I was like, I am not spoiled. What are you talking about? And, you know, I was a tough nut there. But I had to learn this lesson God was trying to teach me. He's trying to help me in my character. It was very important. I mean, my boss even, you know, he was like, he even had to teach me a few things about loving correction. So it's funny how things come out even in your workplace. And you know, I think for the married sisters, we need to realize that there's a reason we're married to the man we're married to. And I, you know, would not have learned this lesson if I had not, you know, gotten married. So anyway, and I had to put off my old self and shift my thinking and put on the new self, just like I did before I became a disciple. And so God can mature me. And I shudder, oof, to think if I hadn't learned that, if I'd still just went along kicking and screaming, just what would I have been like? You know, very selfish and immature and unhappy. I was really unhappy during that time and not the wife God wanted me to be. So, you know, some suggestions are here in the scriptures, too, for how we can put on the new self. You know, Paul says, speak truthfully to our neighbor. He says, in your anger, do not sin. He says, do not let any wholesome talk come out of our mouths. And that's just a few there. And these are all great. We can certainly put these things into practice. But I think what would be great is if we just fill in the blanks, you know, ourselves. Think about how can we get rid of our futile thinking? How can we be new in the attitude of our minds and put on the new self? And, you know, recently I just have to learn. You know, I've had to see that I have to learn to stop and deal with the worry that's creeping in my mind and the fretting and shift my thinking and allow God to calm me down, you know, with what is true, you know, what is really what's important right now. So think about that. Think about what is true in your lives and share it with somebody over the next week or so. So in closing out, I'm going to go back over Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 again. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, what we're really talking tonight about is being holy. You know, God calls us to be holy as I am holy. And when our thoughts and our actions and our whole lives are pleasing to him, he sees it. And it's a fragrant offering to him. You know, just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament. So there's so many places there where it says that it pleased him. It was a pleasing aroma, you know, when they offered the sacrifices the way he commanded. And so when we sacrifice our lives that way, God is just as pleased. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Holiness is attainable. Every step we take in that direction is valued by God. And so we need to value that. We need to be glad when we can reach those milestones, reach those steps. So decide what steps you're going to take tonight to be holy. And start it in your minds and let it connect to your hearts. Thank you very much. That's it.
Thank you, Barbara. That was really great. Just being able to rein in our thoughts. I think Ephesians 5, it's very profound. I think probably just those two words that the Bible tells us. It says, be imitators of God. That in itself it's like the linchpin. You know, and the domino effects happen. But sometimes, and I remember when I was a young Christian, I would hear sermons, and I'm thinking, what are they talking about? What's the big deal about this? And I was obviously single. I wasn't married when I got converted. And I would hear a lot about guarding myself, about purity. And I'm thinking, what are these people talking about? What's the big deal about this? If you're not going to be impure about somebody, you're just not going to be impure about somebody. I don't know if you've had dismissive thoughts when you hear something or when you read something in the scripture and you just read it and you dismiss it and you're thinking, yeah, it's not me. you hear about, you know, husbands and wives relationship, and I'm thinking, when I get married, what are these guys talking about? Why? I think it's going to be fantastic. Nothing's going to be there. Have you guys thought about that? I know, and some of you singles are sitting here saying, what? You're married and you're having problems with your husband? Oh, let me be married, and then I'm going to be this amazing wife. And then you're sitting there thinking, you women, you're married, you're a guy. What, you're struggling? Do you know how long I've been single? I know you think that because I've been single. Come on, let's be real with one another. And I think we think that way. And we read passages, we get dismissive about them, and you're thinking, yeah. And you know, two things that God humbled me. First, I had my thinking wrong. And I'd been corrected. And I was like, everything I say and do is prideful. First of all, what's the meaning of the word prideful? What's the definition? And you know, when you start getting that way, you know you're really not at a good place. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna talk to my disciple. First of all, I think we need to get this right. What does the word prideful mean? I've got to ask her. She's got to define it. Because I really don't understand the meaning of the word prideful. Because when she says I'm prideful, I don't think it's prideful. It just makes sense to me. And so, when I think about it, it's so ridiculous. And when we get together, we do laugh about it, which is a good thing. And so, I'm going for my discipling time. And I don't know if you have arguments with yourself, but I do. And you know what they say? If you argue with yourself, you always win. And so I'm walking, and I used to have this bag, and I would just slouch it over my back and hold it that way as opposed to strapping the strap over my shoulder. And so I'm walking, I'm thinking, right. The Bible does say you speak honestly with one another. Right. I'm going to tell her what I think. Right. I'm being righteous here. Right. And so by the time I knock at her door, I was so pumped out about my own righteousness. And so, you know, I opened the door and she goes, hi, Sarah, how are you? I say, hi, I'm Brigitte. Good to see you. And she says, how are you doing? I said, I'm Brigitte. I got to tell you the truth. Because my head is all bigged and pumped up with my own righteousness. And you know, when you're all righteous in your own mind, you know you're really in big problems. So I tell her, I'm Brigitte. I don't like it when you correct me. And so I go on and on and on. I think it's just not right. Some words you use just don't make sense. So you got to explain to me because it doesn't make sense, all these things correcting me. It feels like as though, you know, that Midas touch, when you touch, everything turns to gold. It doesn't turn gold to me. It's like, so I went on and on and on and on. And so she just listened. I praise God for her wisdom. So she just listened and went, uh-huh. And I thought, great. I've been honest. I've been open. So now we can have our discipling time. And I was really feeling good about myself. And so she looked at me, if I may use your shoulder. Do you want to be like Christ? I said, yes. And so she says, well, sorry, I got to correct you because you're not like Christ. And that was it. And I thought, you're right. I am not like Christ. And that was it. She didn't bring it up again. She didn't say what a terrible attitude you have. But my thinking was all wrong. And so when you have all those arguments about yourself and you're always going to be the one who wins, talk to somebody. And prayerfully that person's going to point you to Christ. Amen? Because we all strive to be like him. Amen? And you know, Barbara, you're calling us to have spiritual thinking. And we do need others in our lives. When we think we're right in our thinking, to be helped to have that shift, you know, and to be righteous. And so I pray that we will desire to be right. I pray that we'll constantly engage in resetting our thinking. I pray that we'll make every thought captive to Christ. I pray that whatever's right, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's pure, we deliberately think about those things. And not what you define as right, not what you define as true, because, you know, as you saw, I was so wrong, and you're going to just fall flat, but what God says to be so. Amen? And I pray that we'll have that paradigm shift and be spiritual in our thinking. Amen? So, Barbara, thank you. And please, tonight, just think about what it is that, you know, what you encouraged us to do, to think about what is it that I need to change. Because there's always that one thing you need to change it. Especially since we strive to be imitators of God. Amen? So let's do so, and we search our hearts. And if you're blind and you think, I really don't have anything to think, just go talk to somebody and say, hey, so what do you think? What are the things that you think I do need to change in my thinking? Amen? That'll make me be more godly. There are several sisters I want to uphold. I saw Carol McCurdy. I know she does need to go home early, but I don't see her here. But we have incredible talent in the congregation. And you sisters here are super smart and super talented, each and every one of us. But I'll just highlight just few of us in here and just some of their talent. And we have some writers in amongst us. And you know what I do to them? I go and I rub my shoulder and I say, I'm rubbing shoulders with the good big guns, you know. I just kind of pull their legs on that. I'm not sure if Ava, you got my message. No, you didn't? But we have sisters who've written several books. Sometime last year, Ava gave me her manuscript to read through, and I think you wrote it probably like 4 o'clock in the mornings when your son was up. And you know, if you're a mom and you're struggling to have your quiet times, you look for every little itty bit because you're trying to find time to sleep. You don't know whether you're asleep or awake. But she said, you know, she started writing down her thoughts in her quiet times, probably most often more regularly around 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's a tremendous manuscript when you gave me. I pray that you're going to get to print it and we're going to get to buy those books. I'm trying to hold this and really be like a great salesperson. But we have a website. I think, is it Lulu? Yeah. Lulu.com? Carol McCurdy, she's not here, but she's the sister who does the sound system, helps Mark vote. She wrote a book. It's hilarious, her perspective. And I didn't get to bring it because I'd asked if she could bring it, but I didn't get to talk with her before service. But please buy her book and be inspired. We have Lisa. She wrote Living Within the Silver Lining. It's a great book. Great, great book. Buy it. And read it. And let it inspire you. Amen. It sounds like you guys need to share some of your royalties with me, since I'm doing a lot of, you know, I'm marketing your stuff, so. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're putting that spiritual spin in there. But she's written a book, Living Within the Silver Lining. The book I have, it's like, so I've underlined every page. It's so rich, inspiring, deep, just resetting my mind, really. That's what it is, and just the wrestle to stay righteous. I like this cover. It's Quiet Time Questions, Digging Deeper, Danielle Beavers. Every day, just about, you would send, I know I'm one of your recipients, scriptures. And it seems every time I read that passage, it's just what I need. And sometime last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I was praying, and I pray for you guys. And she was on my mind. I kept praying. I'm thinking, okay, God, what is it that you want? What's going on with her? And over the years, I've really trained myself to listen to the Spirit. And Spirit, did I say Spirit? Spirit. Yeah, there are different definitions of spirit. No. Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. And so over the years, I've trained myself to listen to God's Holy Spirit. And at different times, He'll put sisters in my mind. And I'm training myself to call or make sure that I follow up. And sometime last year, Danielle was so much in my mind. I kept saying, I pray that she's okay. And so, and I don't know what it was, he just said, write down all those passages that she had said. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Surely I've got so many things to do. And I'm thinking about all my to-do lists. I don't know if you have your to-do list. And I'm like, I'm really wasting my time. She knows the scripture, and she's the one who sent me. But the Spirit kept prodding me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to succumb and submit to God's prodding. And I sent it to her, and I think she wrote back and said that was exactly what she needed. Because I'd written her and said, this is how you've encouraged me the whole year. And I think she was pretty teary when we spoke. She says, that's exactly what I needed that day, and God is so good. And we had a good, and we had that good crying time that we do need, you know. I like us women. We just cry and everything's fine. We've solved the whole world and we haven't really done anything. But we just need that crying, you know. Yeah, and you're awesome too, Barbara, in your makeup, you know. And so it's quiet time questions, digging deeper. I like the person with the magnifying glass. And then this one is stepping out of the box, a journey of faith. And we all know Diane Knight. She wrote this, and I had time to just read through the manuscript and edit it and stuff like that, and it's really great. So we have sisters here who've got not just talent in writing, but so many talents amongst us. And let's just, you know, draw from one another, encourage one another, and spur one another on, and just be spiritual, and so we can make it to heaven, because heaven's worth it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And so I pray that we're going to have a great fellowship, have some great conversation with your good old self, and ask others. Amen? But obviously, you know, be careful. Don't listen to yourself. You're always going to win. Amen? But I will ask Ann Williams. It's deliberate that I ask Ann Williams to come and pray for us, and you can share whatever thoughts you have, but time is a little bit limited. But the reason why I asked Ann Williams to come and pray, she disciples me in many ways at different times, and I call her Richard's mom. She knows how to reset his thinking, especially when it comes to going to the doctors. I'm like, okay, I'm at the verge of really being that nagging wife. So I'm like, Rich, I'm calling Miss Anne. And he's like, okay, I'm going to be fine. I'm like, no, I'm calling her. especially when my father died, you helped my thinking. My sibling were fighting, or still are, or whatever, about some property. And I was seeing things about my family that I'm like, what's going on? I didn't know that they have it in them. Or probably, obviously, they might be thinking that way about me. And I remember sitting on your floor, and you told me that you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family. And we cried together, and you comforted me. And you helped me think spiritual. That was a mind shift I needed. And then you encouraged me because my hair was falling off. And I said, Miss Anne, I don't know what's going on with me. And you said, oh, look at me too. And in your funny way, it says, I've got a bold here. And I was worried. And you helped me see that it's how I was handling my loss and that it's okay. And it was very comforting that I could talk to you. And obviously, I think I'd spoken to Barbara about my hair falling off. And you helped me, and still do, in helping me with dealing with my loss and helping me with my thinking that it's okay to cry and that you moan and deal with your loss. And we need one another to be able to just be silly. And even in our silly thoughts and reactions, but we can hear one another, not in judgment, but to reset us spiritually. And for that, I'm very grateful. So if you could pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, sisters. It is an honor to be able to speak to you and to just share my heart with you. I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for our Heavenly Father and your sisters. I've come a long ways. I've had some challenges and had some heartaches and some losses. But through it all, I've had God with me. And to God be the glory. And with Him being with me, He has strengthened me. He has allowed me to see the other side. I think it was, what's his name, who said, "I've seen the mountainside," Martin Luther King. I sometimes think I see it. I know that there is a better place that God has for us, and we all have to walk that road. It is a road that there's no turning back. We sing that song, "There's no turning back." So whenever you find yourself going towards the road of heaven and there are things that's trying to distract you, always remember that the Father is with you. He said He would never leave us, and I sincerely know He hasn't left me. A lot of people have, but He haven't. And so with that being said, I'm asking each and every one of us to maintain our friendships, our love for one another, and continue to pray and have our quiet times. And to God be the glory. Amen.